Today's shiur is Daf Mem Hei in Psachim, and we're going to begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Acha Burei de Rav Avi le Rav Ashi. Just to review some of the points that we learned in yesterday's shiur, we learned that there's a concept of Tam Ke'ikar, and there's a concept of Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser. Tam Ke'ikar, Rabbi Kiva learns that concept from Nazir, from the word Mishras. The Rabbanan learn Tam Ke'ikar, Rabbi Kiva learns Tam Ke'ikar from Gulei Nachrim, and Rabbanan learned from Mishras by Nazir. Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser, at this point, the Rabbanan don't hold of entirely, and Rabbi Kiva learns Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser from Nazir. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Burei de Rav Avi le Rav Ashi, Midrabbanan Nishma le Rabbi Kiva. From the way the Rabbanan hold and explain their position, we should extrapolate to Rabbi Kiva. Mi lo amri Rabbanan, as we just said, the Rabbanan hold that the word Mishras, which is stated by Nazir, teaches us Lita in Tam Kikr, that there's a concept of taste is equal to substance. And they told us, as it says on top of this Amr actually, the Mikana to Don Lekol Yisurin Shebetayra, from here we learn that not only by Nazir, but everywhere we will say Tam Kikr in all cases in Halacha. Says the Gemara, let's do the same for Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Nami, why don't we say the same? Mishras. According to Rabbi Kiva, Mishras teaches us Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser. So why don't we take that and extrapolate and say that Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser Mikana Tadon L'Kol Esur Shebetayra Kula, that we always say Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser, which we know is clearly not the case. Because yesterday, that's how we began yesterday's shiur, that Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser is only said by Nazir or a few select cases, not B'Kol HaTayra Kula. But why not? Why don't we say that Nazir should be the basis for Kol HaTayra Kula, according to Rabbi Kiva, to say Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser? Amalei, so he responded, Mishum Davin Nazir v'Chatas Shnei K'sum HaBoim Kechot. Nazir and Chatas are two psukim that teach us the same thing, V'Ei Melamdim. So first of all, let's explain this rule. The rule is that if the Torah teaches us the same thing twice, it must be that the Torah is trying to tell us that only in these two situations is the halacha that way, nowhere else. Why? Because if the halacha is this way, b'chol ha-Torah kula, in the entire Torah, so why did the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah should have said it in one place, and from there I should extrapolate to kol ha-Torah. The fact that we see that the Torah needed to say it in a second place, what is the Torah telling us? Where I tell you the halacha is this way, that's where the halacha is that way. Where I don't, it isn't. What are the two places? Nazir, Hadamaran. As we have been explaining, according to Bekiva, Nazir, the Pasuk Mishras by Nazir, teaches us Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser. Chatas Mahi, what do you mean when you say that we see by Chatas Hetem Mitzdarf Le'Isser? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. It says in a Pasuk by Karmen Chatas, Kol Ashiyiga b'psora yigdash, that whatever touches the Karmen Chatas will become holy. Yochla filu loy bala. Let's say somebody touched the Karmen Chatas, but there was no belia, there was no absorption. Tamaloymer achiyivu b'basar, until it actually gets absorbed. Yigdash, so the pasuk says it becomes holy. Liyash kamahu, that it'll be the same as the carbon that it touched. What it mean? Shim psuli hiti posel, that if something touched a karmen chatas and it absorbed from a karmen chatas, so if the karmen chatas, let's say, is a posel karmen chatas, let's say it's pigle that you're not allowed to eat, so now this other carbon that has a blia, that has absorption from this posel carbon, will also be prohibited to eat because it's pigle. Vim kshera, let's say the karmen chatas is kosher. So the way Rashi and Tosfos explain is we always go l'chumra. For example, let's say chulin touched the schatas. Chulin you could eat as much as you want. now that it has absorption of a karmachatas, just like a karmachatas can only be eaten for a day and a night, it can only be eaten by certain people, it can only be eaten in certain places, now this chulin will have the same din. If karmach shlomim has absorption from a karmachatas, so again, what will we say? That even though karmach shlomim may be eaten for 2 days and a night, this carbon will only will only be able to be eaten for 1 day and a night, because we go like a karmachatas, which could only be eaten for a day and a night. On the other hand, Taisus says, sometimes it could go the other way. Let's say the shlomim was geshachten yesterday. So when does the time expire? Tonight. 2 days and a night. The karmachatas was geshachten today. When does its time expire? Tomorrow morning. So you'll have only till tonight, not till tomorrow morning. So that's what the pasuk is teaching me, hetem etzaref l'isra. So now, I have two psukim that teach me hetem etzaref l'isra, nazir and chatas. So the first question the Rishonim ask is an obvious question. This pasuk by chatas, you could explain, teaches us hetem etzaref l'isra. You could say it's speaking about a situation of tam ke'ikr. Why am I choosing that it's teaching me hetem etzaref l'isra, and then say I have two psukim for hetem etzaref l'isra? Why don't I say that it's teaching me tam ke'ikr, and I have two psukim for tam ke'ikr, and only one pasuk for hetem etzaref l'isra, and then I'll say that tam ke'ikr is limited to these two situations, and hetem etzaref l'isra I could say b'chol ha'tayra? So they come back to the concept that we said yesterday. Given these two concepts, the concept of tam ke'ikr and the concept of hetem etzaref l'isra, which is the bigger chiddush, which is the bigger novelty that we should not so simply say hetem etzaref l'isra? So if I'm going to say that we're in a situation of shnei ksum abam ke'echad ein melamdim, I'd rather apply it to hetem etzaref l'isra versus applying it to tam ke'ikr. The Tzlach also makes a point that this gemara seems to be a proof to something Tosfos said yesterday. Yesterday at the beginning of the shiur we discussed hetem etzaref l'isra, what does that mean? Rashi said that hetem etzaref l'isra means that the two things don't have to mix. You have the heter and the isra separate. We said the grapes on the bread. According to Tosfos, hetem etzaref l'isra, they have to be muroven. Says Tosfos, I have a raya here, because the pasuk says bibsara, that the chatas got absorbed into the meat. It's not just that they're together, and that's what hetem etzaref l'isra was saying this pasuk is speaking about. So how will Rashi answer that proof to Tosfos? So Rabbi Chanan in the Kibbutz Shurim says a teretz, an interesting teretz. He says bala doesn't mean that the two things absorbed one from the other and became one. Bala means that they got you ate them together at the same time, but not that they absorbed. It's not possible in the Gemara, but otherwise we have a kash and Rashi. Ask the Gemara, according to Rabbanim, who at the beginning of the shiur we said today, do not subscribe to hetem etzaref l'isra. So why don't we say nazir v'chatas? Now having nazir v'chatas shnei ksuvim b'ayim ke'echad v'ayim melamdim. We should say that both nazir and chatas teach us tam ke'ikr, and therefore we'll say they're limited to these two situations and nowhere else. Amri hana mitzvah tzrichi. Even if both are teaching us tam ke'ikr, they're both needed for reasons that we'll explain in a moment, and therefore we can't say that. Why did the Torah say the same thing twice? Rabbi Kiva says, let's understand what you just said. My tzrichi, why do you say both are needed? Bishlam, I can understand. Ikos rachman b'chatas. Had the Torah only written this thing by chatas, like gozminei, we could never learn nazir from chatas. The chulin mikotchim lagamunin. Chatas is kotchim, it's very strict, and I would say only by kotchim I say this, not by chulin. But let's understand the other way. It should have been adequate that the Torah said it by Nazir. And why don't we learn Chatas from Nazir? If Nazir, the halacha is Tam Kicker, certainly Chatas was his Kachim, certainly the halacha should be Tam Kicker. The Kalasun Shabbat Torah could go with Nazir. Yudra Abadim said on top of Mem Dalar Amabez that we always learn something from Nazir. So now we have a great question. If both psukim, according to Rabbanan, are teaching us tam ke'ikr, we should say that tam ke'ikr is only limited to these two issues, nowhere else. Yet the Rabbanan are telling us already in the second shir that we say tam ke'ikr b'chol ha'tayra kula. Tell you the Rabbanan amrilach, mitzrich tzrichi. This is the way you have to understand it. Chattis, the pasuk by Chattis, teaches us hetem etzdarf lisser. So now the Rabbanan are conceding somewhat. And they're saying there is a situation we say hetem etzdarf lisser. Way? Where? By Chattis. However, it's limited to Chattis, because you can't learn anything from Chattis. Chattis is Kachin, which is very strict. And only by Chattis will I say hetem etzdarf lisser, nowhere else. Mishras, the pasuk that says Mishras, by Nazir, that's teaching us Tam Keker, and as they say, Mikanat Adon L'chol HaTorah Kula. Rav Akiva, how does Rav Akiva say? Tavayu, both Chattis and Nazir are here to teach us Hetem Etzdarf L'Isser. So we have a situation of Havalei Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echot, two psukim teaching us the same thing. V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echot, Ein Melamdim. So to review, according to Rav Akiva, Tam Keker I learn from Gulei Nachrim, and from that I learn L'chol HaTorah Kula. Hetem Etzdarf L'Isser, I have two psukim. One is Chattis, and one is Mishras, and Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echot, we have two psukim teaching us the same thing, and it'll be limited to those two places, nowhere else. Asks Rashi, perhaps I should say according to Rav Akiva like this. The Rabbanan yesterday did not want to learn from Gulei Nachrim. Why didn't they want to learn from Gulei Nachrim? Because they said that Gulei Nachrim, it becomes pogrom right away, and therefore it's unique. So maybe Rabbi Akiva will concede to Rabbanan that Gulei Nachrim is not a legitimate source. What am I left with? I'm left with Mishras, and I'm left with Chattis. I'll say Mishras teaches us Hetem Etzdarf L'Isser, and I'll say that Chattis teaches us Tam Keker, or vice versa. And therefore, now I can have Hetem Etzdarf L'Isser and Tam Keker L'Chol HaTorah Kula. And I don't have to have a machlokes of Rabbanan and Bekiva by Gulei Nachrim. They both could agree that it's not a legitimate source. Says Rashi, Bekiva can never be comfortable with that. Because if Chattis will only be the source for something, Chattis can never be a source alone for something. Because Chattis is Kachim, and Mekachim lo yalpinin. That's why Rekiva has to end up saying that Gulei Nachrim is the source of Tam Keker. And since it's only one source, I can learn L'chol HaTorah Kula. Hetem Etzdarf L'Isser, I have two sources, Nazir and Chattis. Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echot Ein Melamdim. Says the Gemara, Amle Rav Asher L'Kohana, Elo Hada Tanya. There's another pasuk by Nazir. It says, "Mikol ashiyas migefen ayayin, anything that's made out of grape products, michatsanim vadzag, the seeds and the skins, everything the Nazir may not have." Says the Gemara, "Limud, what does this pasuk teach us? Is alisuri Nazir shmitstarfen zemzeh, the different items that a Nazir is prohibited to eat can be mitstarf. That means, let's say you have a half kazayis of grapes and a half kazayis of seeds, they're mitstarf." That the Nazir is not allowed to eat them. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Hashtalar Bekiva. If according to Bekiva, Issev Ahetta Mitztarfim, you have the grapes and the bread on Mitztarfim, Issev Issev Mibayi, do I need a pasuk to teach me that grapes and grape skins or grapes and grape seeds are Mitztarf? Why do I need a pasuk to teach me this? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, he does need it. Issev Ahetta Bebasachas. You know when Bekiva will hold that Yechayiv Issev Ahetem Etzdarfim, at least if you eat them together. The grapes are on the bread. Issev Isser are Mitzdarf, not only when they're eaten together, but even Bezechazef, to eat them one after the other. That's what this pasuk teaches us.
This would be the source for Rebbe Chanan's Bala?
Possibly. Now, the Miri says a Gaval de Gavart. He says, the Gemara is assuming that if Issev Aheter is Mitzdarf, certainly Issev Issev Mitzdarf. Says the Miri, who says? We know that before a person does an Aveira, in order to get an Einish, to get a punishment, he has to have a Asra. So if somebody eats grapes and bread, so we know what Asra. A Nazir eats grapes and bread. His Asra is for grapes. But let's say somebody eats a half a kazayis of chalef and half a kazayis of dam. You know why it's dam Mitzdarf? Because I can't give Asra, because what am I going to give Asra for? If I'm going to give Asra for Chalev, but he only has a half kazayis Chalev. If I give Asra for Dam, he only has a half kazayis of Dam. So perhaps Issev Aheter, not like the Gemara is arguing, is easier to understand than Issev Isser. Says the Miri, you're right. If the Gemara said that Issev Isser is Chalev and Dam, You could say that maybe chayil v'dam is harder to understand than issa v'heter. But what's the Gemara giving as an example of issa v'issa? A half a kazayis of grapes and a half a kazayis of grape seeds. The asra from both is the same asra. It's a grape product. That's why the Gemara couldn't say that issa v'issa is a bigger chiddush than issa v'heter. And the Gemara's question is a legitimate question. Says the Mishnah, Batzek shebesitke areva. If you have a piece of dough, they lived in a different world. They didn't just throw out things that broke. So if the mixing bowl for the dough broke, they used a piece of dough to be a patch. So if you have a batzek shebesitke areva, if there's a piece of dough that's being used as a patch, im yesh kezayis v'makom echad. If there's a kezayis in one place, chayv levar v'mlav. But if there's less than a kezayis, batel mayutai, it's insignificant. The kain l'inyan tuma. The same thing is that we know if a utensil becomes tamei, we have to put it into the mikvah. Is the halacha like this? Im makbrilov, if the piece that's there is something that's significant, it's a chatzitza, and the tefillah will not be good. Vim roitz b'kiyumai, if he wants it there, harei kureva, because part of the bowl, and it's not a chatzitza. So the Sfas Emes says that this Mishnah is perhaps a raya to Rashi. If you recall, in the first Mishnah of this parak, the previous Mishnah, we learned a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. What's the halacha by Taruvas Chametz and Chametz Ksnoiksha, which was the subject of that Mishnah? Rashi said, there's a chiv by Rabbi Motzei, there's a chiv to burn it. Tosfos says that in Taruvas Chametz and Chametz Ksnoiksha, there is no chiv to burn. Says the Sfas Emes, we need to understand. We started the first mission about Taruvas Chametz and Chametz Naiksha, and now we're talking about the mixing bowl with the dough. What's the connection between the two Mishnayis? So if you learn like Rashi says, the Sfas Emes, that both Mishnayis represent examples of where you have to burn, so we can understand the connection. But if Tosfos is correct, that the first Mishnah is talking about something that you don't have to burn, and this Mishnah is talking about something you do have to burn, what's the connection? So it's a raya to Rashi. So here the Gemara is saying that if you have less than a kazayis, the Mishnah says, it's not an issue. So the Mefarshim ask, even if it's less than kazayis, we know chatzi shir is also manatayra. Even if it's less than a shir, so what's the difference if it's kazayis or less? So some Mefarshim say that chatzi shir also manatayra is only by something you eat. Here we're not talking about something you're going to eat. So there's no concept of chatzi shir. Another teretz that they give is, when do we say chatzi shir? We say chatzi shir is if you showed significance to something. You ate it. You worked with it. Here you're not showing any significance. So there we don't say chatzi shir. And another teretz that I saw is a very beautiful teretz. The truth of the matter is, as we've learned earlier, chametz is a very big chiddush. Because the Gemara says, shnei dvarim einem b'rishusa shel adam. There are items that halachically I really don't own. V'asun hakasim b'rishusai. The Torah says that you do own it, that it's an Isser, Chametz. So it's a very bechidish. Do I own it? Don't I own it? So when do I say that I own something that I don't really own, if I at least have a kazayis of it? Not to have a kazayis and own it and be chai for it, that you can't say because of Chatzishir. Then the Mefarshim ask another question. Back to the beginning of the Masechta. At the beginning of the Masechta, we discussed why you have to do Bedikas Chametz, why you have to do Biur Chametz. So Rashi said, to avoid the problem by your raw by your matzah. So I can understand, if it's less than a kazayis, as the Mishnah is telling me, there's no by your raw by your matzah, so there's no need to do bir chametz, bittul chametz, bedikas chametz. But Tosfos said the reason you have to do bedikas chametz is because chametz is something that we are accustomed to, we eat all year round, and therefore, if it's going to be in the home on Pesach, you may come to eat it chas v'shalom. That's why you have to do bedikas chametz. So what's the difference if it's kazayis or less than a kazayis? It's a Taz's question. So the Taz answers, when do I have to be concerned that some is chas v'shalom going to eat chametz? If I'm in the house and I see a piece of chametz, I'm used to eating chametz all year round, I forget myself and eat the chametz. Here we're dealing in a situation that you put the chametz into the mixing bowl. Somebody put chametz into the mixing bowl, wants to leave it there. He's not going to eat it. So that's why Tosfos' concern is not an issue here, and even Tosfos will agree that there is no problem and there is no need to do bedikas chametz. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Loishanu, el b'makom she'en asurim l'chazik. This Mishnah is only speaking where the dough is not being used to support, to keep the mixing bowl together. Av b'makom she'asurim l'chazik, if the dough is keeping the bowl together, ein chayav levar. Then there's no need to burn it under any circumstances. Mechlal, what is he saying? The b'chachas, b'kazayas, afil b'makom she'en asurim l'chazik, ein chayav levar. He's saying like this. If it's less than a kazayas, it's never an issue. If it's a kazayas or more, now I have to start seeing, is it supporting? And then it's an issue. If it's not supporting, is it supporting and it's not an issue? If it's not supporting, it's an issue. So he learns two kulas. Less than kazayas is never a problem, and support is never a problem. However, there's an ikka d'masnu ha-seifa. V'mla batal miyutai. If it's less than a kazayas, it's not a problem. Only when it's supporting. If it's not keeping the pot together, chay levar. Mechlal, so what does he hold? The kazayas afilu b'mokam osu l'chazik, chay levar. He's saying like this. If it's a kazayas, you always have to burn it. Now, if it's less than a kazayas, we have to see. If it's keeping it together, so you have two things working in your favor. It's less than a kazayas, and it's keeping it together, then you don't have to burn it. If it's more than a kazayas, although it's keeping it together, it has to keep it together. You have to burn it. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kalishna Kama, and Tanya Kalishna Braisa. There's a Braisa that learns like the first version, and there's a Braisa like the second version. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Batzik Shibasitke Areva, the flour, the dough in this mixing bowl, but makam also lechazik if it keeps the pot, the bowl together. Ain't a chaytzit; it's never chatzitz for tefillah. There ain't over, and there's no problem chametz with Pesach. Or but makam shein also lechazik if it doesn't keep the bowl together, then chaytzit for over. The medva memurim, when is it a factor? Only it's of a kazayas. Avol b'pachs m'kazayas. If it's less than a kazayas, afilu b'mokim she'en osu l'chazik. Even though it's not keeping the bowl together, it's never an issue. En a chaytzitz, it's not a chatzitz of a tefillah, vein oiver. Which is exactly like the first version. V'tanya kolishna braser. But there's a braser like the second version. If you have the dough keeping the mixing bowl together, if it's keeping it together, it's not a chatzitza. Furthermore, there's no problem chomes for Pesach when but if it doesn't keep it together, then it is a problem for chatzitza and for Pesach. However, when will it not be a problem? The medvar mamurim, when will it not be a problem? The machas mikazayas, only if it's less than a kazayas. Ava b'kazayas, if it's a kazayas, then even though I feel the machas mikazayas l'chazik, even though it's what's keeping the bowl together, still chaytzit forever, it'll be chatzitza, and it'll be a problem on Pesach. So we have the two brises representing the two versions of what we learned. Says the Gemara, Kashin Hadadi. So these two brises are contradictory. Omrav Huna, Sami Kilsa Bekame Chamirta. The first brisa is a lot more lenient than the second brisa. So we'll say that we have to remove the first brisa, say it's incorrect. Says Rav Yosef Amma, Tanai Shekaltam Amma. Where do we ever find, says Rav Yosef, this is the way the Mefarshim explained this, that if you have two brises that contradict each other, so we say, you know what, the one that's more lenient, and since Pesach is so significant, we'll say it's incorrect. And the Zohar, not that I learned the Zohar, I just saw the Zohar, somebody quotes it, says Amar de Gevart. It says, Istakel by Raisu Bari Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from the Torah. Every piece of Torah keeps the world going. Here you have a brise that you just want to say, dispose of. The world stands on this brisa. You can't dispose brises. You're destroying the world. But we have a kasha. So before the Gemara, we're going to learn the Gemara's teretz to the kasha. The Tzlach attempts to say teretz. He says maybe one brisa is talking that you already did bittel. So if you already did bittel chametz from the rice, it's not yours. So that's why we could be more lenient. The second brisa, which is more stringent, is talking that you didn't do bittel. And that's why we have to be more machmer. So the Tzlach says that you can't say that's pshat in the first brisa, that you already did bittel. because he goes back and look at the lashon of the brisa. The first brisa says, "B'makom asel chazik ena choytzitz ena oiver, or makom she'ena yitzel chazik choytzitz ve'oiver." So he says, if you did bittel, how could you be oiver? Oiver means that you're oiver a deraisa. You're transgressing a deraisa. There's no deraisa. You did bittel. So that can't be pshat. That's one teretz I saw. Slach's teretz. Another teretz I saw is, what does bittel mean? What do we say when we say bittel? Lebetel lahevek hafka da'ara. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it. I don't want it. Is that true? You want this dough. You may not want it to eat, but you want the dough to remain there. It's the patch of your bowl. So you can't say that you were mevatel. You can't be mevatel something you don't want. You can't be mevatel something you want to remain in existence. So now, how do we reconcile these two brises? So it's the Gemara Tanaihi. It's Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya Hapash Ipsha. Bread that got moldy, Chayiv Levar. You have to burn it. Neshiroi L'Soichika. It could be ground up. L'Chamba Kamis Zacheres, and it could be used as sourdough. It could be used to help rise, to make other doughs rise. So it's Machlokes Rambam and Ravid how to understand this brisa. The Rambam says we're talking about a loaf of bread. And he says that although the loaf of bread is nifsal ma'achilas adam, people can't eat it, but it's not nifsal ma'achilas kelef, it's not that wound that a dog can't eat it. So therefore, since it can be used as sourdough, there's a problem owning it on chametz. The Ravid says like this, and it's really important to explain this. Certainly, if this bread got moldy after the zman, but by the zman iser, it was good bread, nobody's going to argue. You have to dispose of the bread because it was also. Here we're talking that it got moldy before the zman. But it wasn't bread that got moldy in this case. It was sourdough that got moldy. Something that's sa'or, that sourdough is really never edible. Therefore, says the Ravid, on sourdough, on sa'or, even it gets nifsal ma'achilas kelev, it's still osur in Pesach. But, says Chaim Moiz and Achiezer, the Ravid will agree that if somebody has sourdough, which is nifsal ma'achilas kelev, you'll be over by your raw, by your matzah, but you won't get cursed for eating it. You can't get cursed for eating something that's not even fit for animal consumption. When is there discussion with something's made to be eaten? Let's say you have a block of chametz that you decided you're going to use this for a chair, butler. There it's not chametz anymore, it's a chair. Says the Gemara. Midam Rav Shimon ben Elazar, butter. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says you could take chametz and make it lose its status of chametz. I'm going to use it as a chair. Mechlal the Tanakama Sover, like butler, you can't do that. Almak Sover, what does the Tanakama obviously hold? Kol Kazayis, Afagad Mevatel, every Kazayis, even though you designated that it shouldn't be food anymore, like butler. So that's going to be the Machlokes here. Tanakama is going to say, he's going to be the second Tana of the second Brice. He's going to say, just because you put the chametz into the mixing bowl, it's still chametz. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar is going to say, no, once you made it part of the mixing bowl, it's like a cheer, and it's not chametz anymore. Says Abaya, your teretz doesn't work. Teretz the b'kazayis. I understand what you're saying. Is it possible to take chametz and say, since I'm going to use it for another purpose, it's no longer chametz? But then it doesn't make a difference. Rav Shimon ben Elazar doesn't make a difference what size the chametz is. But the brises clearly speak about size. Size is irrelevant to this machlokes. So how can we say that that's the machlokes of the brises? The brises use size as a factor. Tanakam Rav Shimon ben Elazar has nothing to do with size. Teretz the b'kazayis. B'chus b'kazayis mi teretz. What does that have to do with size? Says the Gemara, Elahav v'hav Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Both brises represent Rav Shimon ben Elazar's position. So Rashi explains the Gemara. In a mixing bowl, there are three areas. There's the area which is the bottom of the mixing bowl. Then there's the area which is the sides of the mixing bowl, but the dough is parallel to that area. And then you have the area above the mixing bowl, above the dough. In the area that's the bottom of the mixing bowl, which is crucial, you can't have any cracks there. Any hole, if you patch up with dough, we say the dough became part of the bowl and it's not a problem. on the side, parallel to the dough, there it's not such a big deal to crack. So now it makes a difference. If it's the size of a kazayas, you have a problem. If it's less than a kazayas, you have no problem. On top of the area of the dough, which it doesn't make a difference if you have a hole there, there, even if you have a hole and you patch it up with less than a kazayas, it's an issue. And that's what these two brises are talking about. And there's no machlokes. If we had time, we could figure out the words of the brises. That's the homework. You could look into the brises and figure out every case. Says the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, Loi Tema, Shalai B'makam Lisha, Agaba Da Agna. Don't say when I say that the area above the dough means on the other side of the bowl, all the way on the other side of the border, which certainly no dough is there. Ela Sifsa Da Agna. Even the top of the area of the bowl is also an area that any crack that has a dough in it, it's a problem. Says the Mapshit, of course. We just explained that the only place that is significant if there's a hole is where there's dough. This is above the dough. Answers the Gemara. Ma the time is zimna the otif mati lahasam. Sometimes the dough rises all the way to the top of the bowl. And therefore that area should be considered an area next to the dough. And we should start saying there's a nafkamina if it has a hole the size of kazayas or not. Kamash Malon, since normally there is no dough in that area, it's not considered an area parallel to dough. And any hole with any chametz will dough used to patch it up will be a problem. Amrav Nachman Amrav, halach rav Shimon Elazar. That's the halach like rav Shimon Elazar, that even if you take something which is chametz and you designate it for a chair, it's no longer chametz. Ask the Gemara, Eini. Vam Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Im Toch Paneh Betit. You have to not just designate it, but you have to smear it with a coating of lime. Toch in, Loi Toch Loi. Only if you did that smearing of lime, then it loses the status of chametz. Otherwise not. Says the Gemara, Madam Asni Ha, Le Masna Ha. You can't pass like Rav Shimon Elazar and this Braisa. Either Rav passing this way or that way. Ika Damri, Amrav Nachman, Amrav, and Aloch Krav Shimon Elazar. The Aloch is not like Krav Shimon Elazar. Why? The Amrav Yitzchak Bar Ashi, Amrav, in Toch Paneh Betit Batla. You have to smear it. According to Krav Shimon Elazar, smearing it is not enough. It's just designating it is not enough. You have to do actual smearing, and that's then and only then does it lose its status of chametz. The Mishnah Berurah discusses how much smearing do you have to do. You have to smear it from all sides, or if you smear it just from one side, it already shows that it's not chametz, it loses its status. There's an interesting shaila I saw based on this Gemara. There are people that have in their homes traps for mice, for ants. What are these traps? There's food, and there's poison in the food. And the food is chametz, chametz gomer. Are you allowed to have those traps in your home on Pesach? Because if you learn the Gemara, it seems that you're allowed to have it. Because that's toch paneh. You took the food, you took the chametz, you put poison on it, you designated it as a trap, and it should be mutter to have in the house on Pesach. You don't have to go looking for your traps, you don't remember where you put them, Erev Pesach. So Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Volzner say that certainly there is a problem with these traps. Why? Because they explain that when is a trap when is chametz not an issue? If you designate it, it should no longer be food. You made the food into a chair. You made the chametz into a chair. Yichta liyeshiva. Here you didn't make the trap into a chair. You made it into food. That's the way you're going to attract the mice and the ants. So it still has the status of food, even though it has poison around it. And if it's chametz to gefood, which they generally are, you have to dispose of it before Pesach. Omer Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Shnei chatzarei zeisim. You have two chatzik zeisim of chametz. V'chot shabatzik b'neim. And there's a thin strand of dough connecting these two chatzik zeisim. Royim. We have to look at the situation. Kol shi'il yunot alachot. If the strand of chametz is so flimsy, v'nitolin imoy, that you could pick it up. It's not that flimsy, that it could connect the two chatzik zeisim, chayv levar. If it's not that strong, so we look at these two chatzik zeisim as two separate entities, and then chayv levar. Amu ula loy amarin elabareva. In this mixing bowl, and they're totally disconnected, so we don't have to burn it. Ava bayis, But if they're in the home, chayv levar. We have to burn it, even though they're not connected. Why? My tama. Sometimes you sweep your house out, and you'll have these two chatzi kazaisim connect to each other, and you'll now have a kazais. Here we're saying that if you have two chatzi kazaisim in the house, connect. If they, you may sweep your house and connect them, and you have a problem. Let's say one chatzi kazais is on the first floor, and another chatzi kazais is on the second floor. Are we still concerned? One chatzi kazais is in the house and one is like in the foyer. If you have two apartments, but in order to get into one apartment, you have to go through the other apartment. What's the halacha then? Teiku, the Gemara doesn't answer. So there's an interesting rush here. I think all the housewives are aware of this rush. The rush says, if you look into the Rishonim and you look into the Paiskim, this Gemara is not quoted. Why not? He says, because the women are anyway makpid to perfectly clean the house before Pesach. So it'll never come to a shaila that you have a chatzi kazayis here, you have a chatzi kazayis there. There's nothing left anyway. They cleaned out the house perfectly. Tana Abon. Hapash Ipsha. There's a halach that we spoke about earlier. Bread that gets moldy. V'nifsla melechel adam. It's not fit for human consumption. V'chel of yachala achla. But it could still be eaten by a dog. It's still enough of a food that it's susceptible to tuma. It's the size of kabeya. And it could get burned together. Tar food of this status with tummy food if it's chametz. Rishim Rav Nosson Amru. Rav Nosson says, since it's not edible anymore by humans, it's not considered chametz. Kaman oz lahad etnan. Klal amru betaris. Kolam yuchad l'echel odom. Anything that's still that's designated for human consumption, tamei ach yivsa melechel kelev, until it's not edible even by animals, command like Rav Nosson, because according to Rav Nosson, when it's not edible by humans, it's not an issue. And this is the concept of nifsal, which is a very important concept in chametz, that food that becomes nifsal, that becomes degraded, should no longer be an issue. So there are a few shailas just to mention when we speak about nifsal. One shaila is, let's say you have chametz, that it has to go through a process. Glucose is made this way. You take chametz, you nifsal it, you degrade it, it becomes totally non-edible through a chemical reaction, and then at the end of the process, it's very edible. Do we say that that's considered nifsal? Most Paiskim say that that's not considered nifsal. Because since it's all part of one process, and at the end of the process, it will not be nifsal, that's not considered nifsal. Then there's another shaila. Let's say you have something which is nifsal. It's totally non-edible. This shaila is a famous shaila. Rabbi Sazam discusses the shaila. And still done till today. Alcohol has very high taxes if it's used for liquor or wine. But if it's used for other purposes, then it doesn't have tax. So what do? They used to go and spoil it. That should be non-edible. But now the question is, you have alcohol, which is totally non-edible. It's been made foul in order that it should not be taxed at the rate of liquor alcohol. But through a chemical reaction, you could bring it back to be able to be drunk. He says, and in Europe, it was very common that they did this. The goyim used to do this in order to get alcohol cheap. Will that be an issue? Is that considered nifsal or not? So Rabbi Zalman says a very interesting story. He said he was the Rav in Slutsk. And he said that he had a machloikus with the dayin in Slutsk about this shaila. He was machmer, and the other dayin was mekel. And they sent the shaila to Rav Eli Chaim Meisel, the lodger Rav, to Paskin. Rabbi Eli Chaim felt that the Rabbi Zalman is correct, and you have to be machmer. And he then went and sent a letter or a telegram to tell Rabbi Zalman he's right. But the telegram didn't arrive to him, it arrived to the other dayan. So Rabbi Zalman said, why did that happen? No, the other dying was honest. He came back and told him, Rabbi Zalman agrees with you. He says, the Minashimayim happened that way, that it shouldn't be that Rabbi Zalman should be able to go tell the other dying, you see, you were wrong. So he came and told him, you see, you were right. Then the last Shaila, when we discuss about Nifsal, is the Shaila about medicine. Because the medicine that we take many times is Nifsal, but then they coat it, or they add ingredients that make it fine, to make it good tasting, add flavors or other things that make it taste good. And that's the Shaila, is that an issue or not? From the Rambam, it's mashma, that if you have chametz combined together with something that makes it taste good, even though the chametz is nifsal, it's also to eat that on Pesach. And the Mishnah Brewer explains, because achshavei, the famous concept of achshavei, by including it in a good tasting combination, you make the chametz achshavei. That's the way it seems from the Mishnah Brewer. But there are two poskim. I'm not going to pass on the shaila about medicine and Pesach, a very serious shaila, but the Chazon Ish says a very interesting concept. He says, you weren't machshiv the chametz, you were machshiv the non-chametz products. So since you weren't machshiv the chametz, then it's not considered achshavei, when you have bad-tasting medicine together with good-tasting non-chametz ingredients. So if the good-tasting ingredients, according to Chazon Ish, are not chametz, even though the medicine aspect is chametz, but it was nifsal, it's not a problem. The Yad Avram says a different heter. He says, achshvei means that for whatever reason, the whole world doesn't eat this food item, and I do eat the food item. So it shows that to me, this is a significant food. Nobody eats medicine because they think that medicine is choshev. They take medicine because the doctor told them they have to take it. So that's not called achshvei, and therefore medicine, if it's nifsal, will never be a shaila. If it's nifsal, will never be a shaila.